always winning of late. Your Toronto Raptors, fourth in a row, they beat the Knicks 113-104 at MSG last night. Michael, you were there. Before we get into the specifics of the game, the Knicks rolling a little bit to start the season. They come into this one 5-1, 5-2 now. The Knicks had a nice season last year where optimism started to come up, and they've had a great start to this year. We've all done the seen and done the bing bong stuff. And I guess your take on what the vibe was like at Madison Square Garden and how much better it feels day to day in the league when the Knicks are cool and the Knicks are relevant.
First of all, I mean, it's amazing because it's been so long since I've been in that building when the Knicks were exactly that. And it's more like, in some ways, it's a contrast. When the Knicks are bad, it's just so miserable, right? I mean, the fan base is just, they're so committed, but they're just so upset. They're so angry. And, you feel it, you know it. And the franchise has been a laughingstock almost since I've covered the league. And, you know, what they've done the past couple of years is just simple stuff. You know, they've just avoided big, dumb mistakes. And they put together a really nice team, and the building is full, as always. But it's a really live crowd. And maybe one of the best crowds in the league. You think New York, for the price of those tickets and the sophistication of the market, they'd be kind of a little bit too cool for school. But they're, you know, it's a crowd that, you know, the chants start early. They come from all over the building. They jump in with all the prompts, and then just in the building itself, it's just a great environment, great lighting, great music. So it's a treat. And, you know, and I think for the Knicks to be good, you know, every team that goes through there loves it. I think it does become a little infectious around the league in terms of interest. And they're doing legit. I wouldn't say they've got a great team. I don't think they're a championship team, but they got a nice team.
So we've been jumping on the bing bong wagon here leading into this game. What was it like actually hearing bing bong through the speakers at MSG? Was it annoying? I really need to know what the atmosphere was like. Were people saying bing bong? Just like, give me my bing bong takes.
I think people really liked it. You know, it's one of those things that's kind of taken off. And I'll confess, like, I was a little like, what is going on around here? I'm sorry. Pop culture sometimes eludes me. So the people did not seem annoyed. People seemed very enthusiastic. My understanding is that it's a subway chime, right? Is, I yes. think, what it's all about. Anyway, so there you go.
Are they selling bing bong merch or anything?
Not that I okay. noticed.
I guarantee but if you did,
I'm guarantee you it is somewhere.
Yeah, yes. if you did a lap around MSG, someone, probably multiple like of those street kiosks and stuff, have your
like the iHeart BJ's guys outside the Rogers Center.
Sure,
same thing,
but better.
Yeah, but
because it's bing
bong.
You know
what I
mean? Yeah, bing bong.
Anyway, if Mike Breen can get on the bing bong chain, a train on the broadcast, you can too, Mike. One more Knicks question before we take the Raptors. RJ Barrett last night, 27 points on 9 of 13 shooting, had a career high 35 the game before that. I know you know RJ and his game really well. I've been impressed with the defense to start the year. Is RJ starting to take a little bit of a step here that we've been, you know, hoping he could take in this next little while?
I think so. I mean, you know, the thing with RJ has always been, even going back to the draft, he was like a low floor player, right? Or sorry, a high floor player. Like you knew you were going to get something good just based on his character and his size and all that kind of stuff. You just didn't know what it was going to be. And I would say right now, you still don't know exactly what the ceiling is going to be, but his floor, he reminds me a little bit of OG Anunoby in a way. Is like if he kind of just maintains roughly this level, like he's going to be a great NBA player on really good teams for many years, right? Like he is a good wing defender. He can handle multiple positions. He's really like a really thick, strong guy now, even though he's like 21. You know, like I've known him since he was just a kid, and you're like, wow, man, this guy's, it's like he's put on like 3 pounds of muscle every season for the last 5 years or something. And he's just, he looks like a, you know, like a superhero out there. so there's that, right? And then last year he really, you know, made some really smart adjustments with his shooting from the perimeter. So that kind of gets him into a new category. And what I just saw in person last night, and certainly it's borne out statistically, is He's way more fluid shooting off the dribble. I think his shot selection is way better. He's now still not trying, you know, he'll get into some step back stuff here and there. So he's clearly kind of trying to push the envelope on that. But, you know, his dribbling into in a mid-range stuff is really good. And so he's kind of turned himself into a nice professional scorer. And I think the fact that he's done it on a Knicks team that's added, you know, a guy like Fournier, a guy like Walker, you wonder, like, where was he going to find his breakfast kind of thing, but not a problem. And, you know, so I think, you know, I would say we still don't know what his ceiling is, but I'd say I'm way more optimistic he's going to reach it. And in the meantime, you know, this guy's going to be, you know, if you're going to redo that draft, like when you know everything you know about Zion right now, you know, he might go number two behind Ja. So it's been a really nice story for him.
Talking to Michael Grange, Sportsnet NBA columnist and insider, Raptors win last night 113-104 in New York. Michael, do you want a Raptors positive or a Raptors negative first? We're going to get you with both of them, but how do you want to start off here?
Well, I mean, they're coming off a big win, so let's go with a negative.
Let's go with the negative. All right. The Raptors, without Scottie Barnes and, of course, Pascal Siakam and Yuta Watanabe still out last night, they elevate Svi to the starting lineup, and then we see Justin Champagne, Malachi Flynn, Delano Banton all in the rotation. Not in the rotation once again, Goran Dragic. You have had kind of the pulse of the Dragic situation throughout. Do you think these DNP CDs are a tenable situation, or is this something where we're going to start to hear some chatter sooner than later?
I wouldn't be surprised if we do kind of get some noise on that. I mean, I am a little surprised that he's just been so quickly pushed aside, because I don't think he was playing as badly as to warrant it. And you know, he's a good soldier, he's a good person, so he's not gonna create a big problem. But I just think when you've got a guy of his stature in the league who can clearly still play, you know, who's clearly not in the plans here, something's got to give. So it could be shorter. You know, we'll see the timing of it. I think we're still a little bit early in the season for moves to kind of start manifesting. But, like, there's a zero chance he's going to be DNP CD for, you know, from now till April. Like, that is not happening. So something's got to give at some point.
Yeah, there are a few different decision points on the calendar where it could come. November 8th is kind of the first one where the Raptors have to make a decision on Sam Decker or Isak Bonga. Neither of them factoring into the rotation in any way so far, but both of their deals guarantee in full on that date. So you could keep both of them, but that would be a bet that you can clear Dragic at some point in a tax-saving trade, because they're about $1.3 million over the tax right now. Or, you know, you have some confidence that you can get a buyout done with him where he leaves that much on the table. Do you have any sense yet of what that might look like specifically? Or are we going to revisit the Dallas stuff come February, or is it a little too early for that still?
I think it's a little bit too early. And, you know, there's clearly, you know, when you talk about a buyout, the guy's making $20 million, right? So, I don't think the Raptors are in a position where they're going to swallow too much of that, right? Like, I mean, it's like they're coming off a year of zero revenue. Mm-hmm. So I don't see them kind of paying around like $15 million to go away type of deal. So I think it could, you know, when I say it's not going to drag out all season, like it's not, but I don't think it's going to resolve itself this week. So it's just, you know, you're right. Like, you just got to monitor it and we'll see. I don't think it's a situation again where Dragic is going to make it so uncomfortable that something crazy has to happen. But, you know, I mean, the flip side of all this is when you have a vet like that, he's respected. It wasn't like he signed here. Like got caught up in a bigger deal. And, you know, I don't think the Raptors are in the business of making life miserable for good people. So, you know, it's definitely something we'll see shake out sooner than later.
So I've thought OG's season has been a little muted, which is understandable given the start of Scottie Barnes, right? And the excitement that he's instilled in this fan base. It's been, people always gravitate towards the new thing, especially when the new thing looks like that. But what have you made of OG's start this season? Has anything surprised you? Has anything exceeded expectations for you? Where are you just at with the new added offensive OG Anunoby?
Just how hungry he is, how thirsty he is, you know, like, is he definitely wants to be, the kind of player he's working towards being in terms of, you know, I don't know if I would have known that about OG a year or two ago where you kind of thought, okay, this guy's going to really find a great niche as this elite 3-and-D guy. But he wants to be so much more than that. And, you know, he took 27 shots last night. He's had a couple other games near 20 shots. Like, he's, you know, and he's kind of hasn't let, as he corrected me last night, I thought he started slower than he did. He had two really bad games to start. He was like 3 of 17, 4 of 17. And then since then, he's been pretty steady. But he wants it. Like, he wants to put the ball on the floor. He wants to get to the rim. He wants to have, he wants to make plays over and over again. And that's almost the element you can't predict sometimes with guys is how much weight do they really want to carry. Everyone thinks they want to be a guy with, you know, the ball in their hands all the time until it doesn't work out, right? And then, you know, you take some heat for that. So I think that's it. Like, the guy's clearly a very ambitious player. And at age 24 with his talent, that's pretty encouraging. And, he's got the tools to do it. He's still kind of an awkward-y, you know, he doesn't really correspond with your vision for a guy who's going to be, you know, be putting up 35 points or 36 points in an NBA game. Like, he still kind of does it. You know, he still looks like awkward kid in grade 10 sometimes, but he's just such a beast. He makes it happen. And, you know, he's turned himself into an elite shooter. So that's always kind of his baseline. And, you know, that I guess that'd be my answer is just, I'm really surprised how much he clearly wants to be, you know, a number one option on a good team.
Yeah. I think what's wild too, is that OG scores 36 points. They beat the Knicks at MSG. And for the most part, the narrative was the Raptors beat the Knicks without Scottie Barnes, right? Like, that it's like they did it without Scottie Barnes, the rookie who before the season started, we had absolutely no idea what he was going to give this team. Do you have a sense at all of what we're looking at here timeline wise with his injury? Because, yeah, I know the Raptors won. It was a great game, but I very much found myself missing Scottie Barnes.
I don't think it's going to be very long. That's what Nurse said. And then just watching last night before he was ruled out, he was on the floor going through his pregame workout, handling the ball, shooting the ball. He's staying away from any kind of contact type stuff. But it looks to me like he's got an ouchy thumb. Like, it doesn't look too swollen. Like, it's not wrapped. So I think, you know, any of us here who played any sport or anything like that, like, you strain that thumb, you tend to keep straining it. Like, every time you hit something, it ends up being your thumb. So it's kind of, or whatever, your finger, whatever the injury is. So I think it's probably like, I bet you it's like three to five days just to make sure that it's the next time you hit it, you're not re-injuring it, would be my prediction. And I could be completely wrong if you play tomorrow night. So I don't think it's a significant injury by any stretch.
Keep an eye out for the red shoelace around the team, Grange. That's a legendary medical technique when it comes to fingers and thumbs.
I did sneak around, and like, it's not like his thumb swollen or anything like that. Okay. I really just think that he jammed it, and you know, that really hurts. It can hurt. If you jam it again, it gets worse, but... So I don't think he's, you know, they've tested it, they've x-rayed it. I just think it's an ouchy thumb.